Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our text for today will be taken from our gospel reading in John chapter 8. Unless you are new to the Lutheran Church, somewhere along the line you have run across the three solas of the Reformation. By grace alone, by faith alone, by scripture alone. Today, I'd like to focus on the last of those three, by scripture alone. By scripture alone traces its background, its roots all the way back to the Leipzig debate of 1519. That's 2 years after the posting of the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door. If you were here last year for our second annual midwinter lecture, you heard Dr. Serena as he spoke with us about the Leipzig debate. He also then wrote an article in our New Jersey District Grapevine, the newsletter. And by the way, if you don't subscribe to that, I would suggest that you do so. There's good things in there just to keep you abreast of what's going on among our churches in New Jersey, but then particularly for the articles that he is writing regarding the Reformation, that in itself is worthwhile. But anyhow, in this last edition, he wrote an article, again, about the Leipzig debate, and he displayed how it was that Luther began to make this point. It was really something new that was coming out of the Reformation. Before that, there were the other things, the other issues that had arisen from the 95 Theses that had all kind of settled down during the 2 years. But then there was this new point that arose out of the Leipzig debate, that it was by Scripture alone that our doctrine is set. For you see, he had really been forced into making a statement that he was not prepared to make at the time, but because he did believe it and he understood it to be true, this is where the debate went. He said that councils, while they are helpful and while they are good in many respects, are still of human origin. They're not divine, and therefore they can err. And this was a bombshell at the time. You know, the things that the church said in council that they could possibly be wrong, it was a bombshell. But Luther maintained that it was the scriptures and the scriptures alone that were infallible. It wasn't for another 60 years after that until it became codified in the Formula of Concord, you know, that agreement between the Roman Catholics and the Lutherans so that there might be peace in the lands. But there it was codified that indeed it was, that scripture was the only source and norm for all doctrine. Or as it said, the norma normans, or the norm that norms, that's what the scripture is. Undergirding this priority of scripture and the high value that we place upon it are many scripture passages, among them our gospel reading for today from John chapter 8. Jesus said, "If you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." And you can even hear, as I read that once again, about the priority of the word of God. It is by the word of God and it alone that our lives are normed and governed. And it is as well the power of God unto salvation. And so we might paraphrase by very simply saying that the scripture is the only means by which we set our doctrine and by which we come to faith in Christ. Of course, as always, our text brings up the problem that we face regarding this. And the problem really is twofold. First, it starts with delusion, self-delusion. And what is that delusion? Well, the very notion that we are free, that we can determine things ourselves. And so it was when Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will truly be my disciples, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, the Jews at that time responded by saying, well, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you can say you will become free? And isn't that the same thing that we say? We loathe even the notion that we are not free, that we are somehow beholden to another, that we are not self-determinative. For us Americans especially, this idea of freedom is of great and of high value. How can anybody even think or say that we are not free, that we are enslaved to another? But as we'll see in just a moment, in fact, that is true. But you see, this is where the problem begins, because we don't even know we have a problem. We don't even know that we are enslaved. And so we go about thinking that we are truly free and we can just do what we want. And so what is it that we confess? If we say we have no sin, we, what? Deceive ourselves? And the truth is not in us? But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the problem starts with just that we don't even understand the depth of our problem. And then it goes right to the root of it, which is the enslavement itself. Again, Jesus says in response to those who say, how can you even say that we are enslaved to another? Well, Jesus responds by saying, truly, truly, I say to you. And those are important words, because whenever Jesus uses those words, they are an indicator that what comes next is of great importance. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. You see what the problem is? The problem is not just our sin. It's not just that we have done something sinful. Yeah, that in itself is bad enough, because that is rebellion against God. It is hurtful either to ourselves or to others. And so, yeah, that's bad. But that's not even the worst of it. The worst of it, it says, is that Jesus says, that's just a symptom. That's a symptom of the deeper problem that is within you. And the fact that you are enslaved to your sinful nature. And this is really what we need to deal with. And this is what Jesus indeed has come to deal with. And so what happens? Well, as sin is in our life, it separates us from God. And where God is not, then there is, well, not a void, but something always needs to fill that void. And our delusion, as we've already talked about, is that we think that we fill it ourselves. You know, so we can decide that we're self-determinative. Well, the scripture teaches us, no, that's not really the case. In fact, what fills that void is our sinful nature. And the sinful nature is what tells us what we're supposed to do. And so we are enslaved to our sinful nature and the passions of our flesh. But, as Jesus says, he has come to set us free from that. Verse 36, the last verse. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And this happens through the Word. Through Jesus' word of absolution for us. That Jesus says, you are forgiven. You see, I have gone to the cross. I have paid the price. I have the authority now to declare forgiveness of sins to you. And so he does. He declares you to be forgiven. And with that, the shackles of sin that bind you are broken. The door to the prison house of sin is unlocked and you are set free. Set free, not to just do whatever you want to do. That's not what true freedom is, but rather you are freed from sin so that the Holy Spirit might be active in your life, leading you by the Word of God in order to do the things of God. That's what true freedom is. It's freedom to fulfill the purpose for which you were created by God. And that you cannot do of yourself. That only comes with the power of God at work in you. The power of God that is in work at you through the Word, by Scripture alone. And so it is that Jesus said, when you abide in His Word, three things happen. First, you are truly my disciples, Jesus said. So the Word of God then marks your life. And this is what we need to understand, that as a disciple of Christ, it is the Word of God that identifies us, that shapes and molds our life so that we can see that Word in action in our lives. And so we are marked by the Word, that in the way that we live, we can actually see this Word of God at work in us. The way Paul talks about it in Colossians chapter 3 is, he says, let the Word of God dwell richly in you. And Jesus talks about it in John chapter 15 using the analogy of the vine and the branches. Abide in me and I will abide in you, just as the vine and the branch are connected to one another. The life-giving force flowing from the vine into the branches. The third commandment also talks about this. In particular, we remember Luther's explanation, because the third commandment, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, is not just about a day. That really kind of misses the point. Luther helps expose the true meaning of that commandment when he says we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching or the Word. There it is. You know, that third commandment is all about that we would not despise preaching of the Word, but instead that we would hold it sacred and gladly hear it and learn it. You see, that's why you're here today. Not because somebody twisted your arm. Not because you're supposed to be here, or that you are going to gain something from God by being here. That is somehow some kind of negotiation. No, you are here because you hold the Word sacred. And you gladly hear it and learn it. You see, that's what a disciple does. Abide in my Word. And when you do that, you are truly my disciples. Secondly, you'll know the truth. The truth. You will know it. We've already talked about truth, or our self-delusion, where we think that we are free to do whatever we want to do. And we saw that is really not true at all. But here in the Word of God comes the truth. And we begin to discover that even though we don't know it, we were enslaved to sin, and Christ has now set us free. That's part of the truth. But let's be careful here not just to think of truth in the abstract, that somehow it is just everything that is not false. Yes, that is true. That's what truth is. But in the biblical sense, it is something much more. Truth is a person. Jesus is truth. Remember what he said? I am the way and the truth and the life. The truth is also a person. Which moves us to a very different place when it says you will know the truth. Because if truth is just the abstract, then knowing the truth is just intellectual. It's just ideas. It's just knowing a bunch of information. But you see, Jesus is talking about so much more. When we understand that truth is a person, that Jesus is the truth, then knowing the truth is a matter of the heart, not a matter of the head. Well, the head is important too, but it really becomes a matter of the heart, because it's a relationship now. You will know the truth. You'll have a relationship with Jesus, a relationship that's based in love, in trust, in hope, and in faith. Which then, of course, leads us to the final thing. You'll truly be my disciples. You will know the truth. And that truth is going to set you free. Set you free, as we've talked about already, to be that person of God. Set free, not just to do whatever you want, but rather to be able to do the will of God. To fulfill your purpose in which God has created you. To function in the role that you have been given, the vocation, the calling that you have, according to God's purposes for you. And that's truly where we find fulfillment in life. That is true freedom. And so we have this principle of the Reformation, the priority of Scripture. By Scripture alone, we say. And of course, that means that it is the only means by which we know God, we come to God, we have salvation. But in addition to that, it also means that we abide in God's word. You see, the principle is, by Scripture alone, the application, the life application is that we abide in that word. That's the outcome that Jesus desires for us. That we would abide in the word, that we would use the word and the sacraments. And remember, the sacraments are just the word of God in a physical form. You take away the word from the physical forms and they are nothing more than worldly things. But when those worldly things are connected with the word of God, again, it becomes the power of God at work in our lives. So the sacraments are the word of God as they are connected with physical things. Abide in my word, abide in the word and the sacraments, Jesus says, and you'll truly be my disciples. You will know the truth, and that truth will set you free. In his name, amen.